Welcome back to Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Andy Bulbarch and Matt Douglas with you. You have us until 6 o'clock tonight. Don't forget, lots of basketball coming your way throughout the rest of the week and into the weekend as well, and well throughout next week and hopefully the next couple of weeks, whether it be Ohio State men's basketball, Cavaliers basketball, or on the high school tournament scene. We need to head back to the hotline now because we're going to talk about some Ohio State men's basketball as we bring in Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV down in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing all right. How you guys doing down there?
Oh, we're doing well. I mean, things are warming up a little bit. When you get just above the freezing mark and it starts to feel warm, I'm not really sure what that means, but it feels a heck of a lot better than it did when we were covered up in that polar vortex a few weeks back. And for the Ohio State Buckeyes, man, I mean, it feels like, you know, it took them a while to bust out of that polar vortex, but they managed to win a few here and there. And they were a winner last night, 63-49 over Northwestern, but it was another one of those games, Dunny, where it just feels like it, one half they look awful, and then the next half they look terrific, and it was the polar opposite against Michigan State. They look great in the first half and then awful in the second half. Why is it that it's always a tale of two halves with this team?
I wish I knew. I mean, I was watching that game last night going, is this game going to get out of the 20s by the end of the first half, by the end of the final? I mean, it was, I think, 3-2 with seven minutes into the first half, and you're just going, this is not a good sign for what's to come in this game for the Buckeyes. I don't know what it was about that second half, but I don't know what Chris Holtman said to the team at halftime, but whatever it was, it sure worked. But you're right. This is the opposite of really not just the Michigan State game, but the majority of their games this year, where they usually have very strong first halves, especially the end of the first halves, and then the second half they kind of lack and become a little sluggish, and especially the last 5 minutes of the second half is when they really become sluggish. So as far as the tale of two halves, you're absolutely right. It's just at this point, I have no idea what team you're going to get in which half.
And what can you really attribute that to? Could it be the youth movement on this team? I know this is kind of a transition, and I think people look at that a number of different ways. I mean, I think in one aspect of it, you look at it, you say, okay, well, last year it was kind of the honeymoon period. Some guys who were left over from Thad Matta's group are gone, and now you have this influx in youth guys that Coach Holtman has recruited, and these guys are still kind of adapting and trying to find out where they fit in. But what do you think the reason for that might be?
That's a very good point, the youth movement. You have a very young team. I mean, senior night's not that far away. You're going to have C.J. Jackson. You're going to have Joey Lane and Danny Hummer off the bench as walk-ons. And Keyshawn Woods, who's just a graduate transfer. But really, so you look at that, you only got one starter in C.J. Jackson that's graduating. This is an extremely young team. You have Luther Muhammad, a true freshman starter. You got Dwayne Washington, a true freshman, playing meaningful minutes. I mean, he played 28 minutes last night off the bench, scored 8 points, you know, grabbed 5 boards. So it's not like they're not doing anything with these young guys. He outscored Keyshawn Woods. He outscored C.J. Jackson. So, you know, you look at these young guys and what they're doing, it's going to take a little bit. It's going to take a full season for them to get acclimated to what college basketball, especially Big Ten basketball, is all about. They're doing a pretty decent job, but, you know, obviously, as Buckeye fans, they always want more, and they expect more out of everybody, every team at Ohio State.
Dunny, I think it's always easy to take a look at a box score and assume that the leading scorer is the team's best player. Not sure if that's necessarily the case here, but if you take a look at what Caleb Wesson has done, not only last night, but throughout the course of the season, is it fair to say that he's far and away by the Buckeyes' best player this season?
No doubt about it. And you look at last night, he scored 22 points, 8 boards, 4 assists, kind of a complete player in 33 minutes. The biggest thing you look at, only one foul. You know, you're talking about a guy that consistently fouls out and plays with 4 fouls. For him to only have one foul, that explains the 22 points. That explains the victory, I think, for the Buckeyes, is if they're able to do that consistently, and if he is consistently able to stay on the floor, the Buckeyes are a much better team. The moment you take him out, you know, you become a very sluggish in the paint and underneath the glass. So I think the key to the Buckeyes winning and moving on and trying to get into this NCAA tournament is the play of Caleb Wesson and him being able to stay on the floor and stay out of foul trouble.
This is something I'm sure we'll come back to, but I think there are a lot of things that factor into that. A, for him, it's playing better and playing smarter defensively. And B, I think you'll agree, it's also a communication thing too. You know, knowing that that's the kind of guy that really kind of paces them offensively. Some other guys have to rotate over and help him out so that if he does get caught in a tough spot, somebody else kind of has to wear those fouls that he continues to accrue, correct?
Absolutely, and that was pretty much C.J. Jackson last night. C.J. played with, you know, had four fouls, only played 18 minutes because of those four fouls, and then he got two very early on. People will have to wear those fouls, but C.J. was the only guy in foul trouble last night. Buckeyes only had 12 personal fouls in total, which is very rare for this team. They usually near the mid-teens to the late teens in personal fouls, even into the 20s. So for them to really, as a team, stay out of foul trouble, that's something we just haven't seen this season from the Buckeyes.
Sean Dunnigan, WBNS-TV in Columbus, joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon, talking about some Ohio State men's basketball. Before we go any further, my friend, did your heart skip a few beats last night? I know you're a big Duke fan after seeing what happened to Zion Williamson yesterday.
Needless to say, I won't be picking up a pair of those shoes, whatever he was wearing, that's for sure. I mean, that was a scary moment, and hopefully he's all right, and hopefully he decides to, if he can play, to play for the Blue Devils for the rest of the year. I know a lot of the popular talk today is, will he even come back because of his draft status and all that? I hope he comes back, because the Blue Devils need him moving on in the late ACC regular season and in the tournament.
Yeah, stepped right through his shoe. I don't think I've ever seen that before. That was just a wild, wild play last night. All right, Donnie, back to the Buckeyes. This is not the only matchup between the Buckeyes and the Wildcats. Northwestern is the second-to-last game on the docket for Ohio State the rest of the way. That might be the only game you took at, if you're playing the scheduling game here, that you could look at as a gimme. Well, as you look at the rest of the teams that are still left for the Buckeyes, Who do you think that they are most likely going to kind of have to upset to get back on the right track and really kind of get themselves in a permanent fixture in the tournament picture?
I think with the loss to Illinois last week, the Buckeyes' margin for error is completely gone. You had to beat Northwestern. They did that. You have to beat Northwestern on March 6th at Northwestern, which I think they will do. Then you're left with Saturday at number 24 Maryland, home to number 21 Iowa, at number 15, Purdue, and senior day, home to number 22, Wisconsin. Out of those four, you have to win one of those at home. I think Wisconsin's probably the best bet to win at home. Iowa, they played pretty tough out there in Iowa City. I don't think Maryland's a must-win. They can beat Purdue. They beat Purdue last year, but Purdue's just going to be very, very tough over there in West Lafayette. I think beating Wisconsin or beating Iowa at home is your best bet. They do that, I think they're a lock in the NCAA tournament.
Well, yeah.
Along with beating Northwestern at Northwestern on the 6th.
Yes. Oh, yeah, that goes without saying. I think if they lose to Northwestern in that second-to-last game of the season, they would basically have to run the table in the Big Ten tournament in order to get back on the map again. But you're right. It's fascinating how now they're being put in a position where they're going to have to pull off at least one upset the rest of the way. But you just went through the gamut there, Dunny. I mean, they're playing a lot of teams ranked in the top 25. And one of those teams, you mentioned it, this Saturday, they take on Maryland. What can we expect in this matchup?
Maryland is just really, really good. You know, you look at what they can do. You have two guys that Alex Cowan Jr. averages almost 60, or Anthony Cowan Jr., he averages just under 16 points a game. The big thing about Maryland and what they're able to do is they're really a complete team. You know, you look at what they've done in non-conference. You know, they lost to number 4 Virginia. Virginia's only lost to Duke, really. So, you know, they haven't really had any really big hiccups. They lost to Illinois. The Buckeyes have done that, so that's no big deal. But what Maryland can do is they can shoot the ball. They're averaging 72.5 points a game. You know, they're rebounding like crazy with 40 rebounds a game. You know, if you're able to do that, that leads to success wherever you go. what the Buckeyes have to do in order to beat them is do pretty much what they did against Northwestern. And what I mean by that is, if you look at that game against Northwestern, the assist-to-turnover ratio for the Buckeyes was flip-flop what it usually is. Buckeyes usually have about 10 more turnovers to assists. Yesterday, last night, it was the opposite. Buckeyes had 18 assists to only 8 turnovers. That is really good. If they can continue to do that, I think they can beat anybody that's on their schedule. But it's going to be very, very tough with this, again, being a young team. That's kind of lackadaisical with the basketball when they do get in transition.
Very good stuff. Well, Dunny, one more question for you before we let you go. And I'm curious, just because I never really know how Ohio State men's basketball is looked at in Columbus. You know, I think throughout the course of the state, it really depends on where you're at as far as how it's looked at. But what's more popular in our state capital? In our state capital, is it the Ohio State men's basketball team or the Columbus Blue Jackets?
It's a very, very good question. And honestly, we don't know. You look at attendance figures, they're pretty much the same. I think attendance for last night's game for Ohio State basketball was about 12,000 people. You look at the Blue Jackets in their last game, it's probably around 15,000 people, which to me is a wash. You know, any given night, you could have one against the other. They draw pretty decently for when they're playing at the same time in Columbus. So it's something we have looked at, and we honestly just don't know. Both teams draw pretty good. Obviously, both teams want to draw a lot better. And the only way to do that is with wins, and, you know, is wins. And obviously, both teams are trying to do that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No, I thought that was fascinating because, again, up here, we're a little bit removed, and I'm not sure how hockey is viewed up here as opposed to how it's viewed down there. Basketball, I think, is certainly going to be hot all throughout the state of Ohio. But, you know, with college basketball for Ohio State in Columbus, how that compares to Blue Jackets hockey, I always thought that was fascinating because I think it depends on who you ask also.
No doubt about it. Yeah, it's kind of a different situation the city of Columbus is in, but I think it's a good thing with sports is always big here in the capital city, and having the Blue Jackets and Buckeye basketball going at it is a good thing, I think.
Yes, very, very good stuff. All right, Dunny. Well, as always, my friend, we appreciate the time very much, and we will do this again next week.
Sounds good. Talk to you guys next week.
Thanks, Dunny. Again, Sean Dunnigan with WBNS-TV in Columbus joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I have to step aside and take a break. We'll come back with more after this here on AM 930 WEOL.